Brother Rod, where'd you put my stool? Somebody told me, Brother Joey, when I walked in, said, oh, you're the same height as Rod. You can use his stool tonight. That was the welcome to Plantation Baptist Church I got tonight. So glad I'm here. And no, it is great to see everybody tonight. What a great crowd for a Sunday night. Somebody must have told your pastor would be back tonight or something. And so, it's great to see you. I'm excited to be with you. My name is Aaron Aylstock. I am the Abeka school representative for the state of Florida. I have worked with your Christian school now, I believe it's been 6 years now that I've been working. Before I started traveling here in South Florida, the previous rep to me said, if you're ever in South Florida, you have to go to Plantation Baptist Church. He said, it is an amazing church. When I first started traveling, I didn't stay over in this area. I stayed over closer to Fort Lauderdale. So I visited different churches when I was in the area. And one day it just hit me. I remembered him saying that. I said, I'm going to go next time I'm down. And since the first time I visited, this has become kind of a home, my church home away from home. And so I am so thankful for this ministry. I love your pastor, Brother Reuben. I've grown to tolerate him. And so, no, Brother Reuben's a great guy. Enjoy it. For the last while, my family has even been able to come and visit the church. My children love the children's ministry. The teachers that invest in their lives are so excited when they get in the van. We just thoroughly enjoy the ministry here. And I'm excited to be with you tonight. I was told a story once of a little girl at the turn of the century that was standing outside of a little church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And she was sobbing. And a man came walking up, and this little girl turned to the man sobbing and said, the Sunday school's full. There's no room for me. The man looked at her and noticed her disheveled hair, dirty clothes. She didn't smell the best. And he said, you know what? We'll find room. And he took that little girl by the hand and he walked her into that church and got her to the correct Sunday school. Oh, that little girl was so excited to be in church, to be able to be sitting in Sunday school that day. That night she was laying in bed trying to go to sleep after the exciting day she had. And she was thinking of all the other boys and girls around the world that weren't able to attend Sunday school. And she drifted off to sleep, wishing that everybody could attend Sunday school like she did. 2 years passed. That little girl was found, her lifeless body was found in a tenement building there in the Philadelphia area. When the parents found out, they called the pastor of the church where she attended Sunday school. Because it was that pastor who had taken her by the hand that first day and had taken her inside. And that little girl had grown to love that pastor. And they had created a special bond between them. When they came to move this little girl's body, a little crumpled up, trashy little purse fell out of her pocket. And they picked it up and they opened it up. And inside that little pocketbook was 57 cents and a note written in childish handwriting. And here's what the note said. This is to help build the little church bigger so more children can go to Sunday school. For 2 years, that little girl had scratched and saved to the best of her ability. And in 2 years, she had gathered up 57 cents to make a sacrificial gift out of love to that church. The pastor, so burdened by what that little girl had done, took that little crumpled up pocketbook, that note, and went in front of the church that next week and read what that little girl had written and gave the 57 cents she had so sacrificially given in the offering plate. Well, the story didn't end there. The church started to raise money to build a bigger Sunday school wing in honor of that girl's sacrifice. A newspaper heard the story and published it in a newspaper, and a realtor called the church and offered to sell the church a piece of property that was worth thousands upon thousands of dollars. The pastor got the message from the realtor, called the realtor back and said, listen, I really appreciate it, but you know what? There is no way our church financially could do that. And he said, you don't understand. I'm going to sell it to you for 57 cents. If you're ever in Philadelphia, Take a look at Temple Baptist Church that has a seating capacity of over 3,000. Temple University, where hundreds of students are trained. Have a look at the Good Samaritan Hospital and at the Sunday School building, which houses hundreds of Sunday schoolers. In one of the rooms in that church, you will see a picture of a little girl whose 57 cents that she so sacrificially saved made this story. Alongside of it is the portrait of her kind pastor, Dr. Russell Conwell, who is the author of the book Acres of Diamonds, which is the true story of this little girl's sacrificial gift. You know, I wonder if the story would have been replayed differently if she brought that 57 cents to church herself. Oh, that's cute. Oh, how sweet. Go ahead and put your 57 cents in the offering plate. You know, so often it's easy to look and limit what can be done based on reason. Tonight, I want to invite you to turn in your Bible to John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. In this passage, we are going to tonight examine three lessons from a lad. Three lessons from a lad. Here in this story, a little lad, similar to this girl, had very little. But we're going to learn three reasons why God took his little and used it to do great things. I'm sure if you've glanced down at the first couple of verses, you say, I know this story. It's the feeding of the 5,000. Probably everybody in this room could tell this story. We've probably heard it hundreds of times. We've probably examined Jesus Christ and what he did in this great miracle. We probably have looked at the crowd and the multitude that assembled. But tonight I want to look specifically at the lad and learn three lessons from the lad. One of the reasons most likely this miracle that Jesus is going to perform is so popular is it's the largest miracle Jesus ever did in regards to participants. You see, in John, it tells us there was about 5,000 men. But if you read the other Gospels, and by the way, this is the only miracle other than the resurrection that appears in all four of your Gospels. Matthew tells us that 5,000 men, but there was also ladies and children. So most likely, you're not looking at feeding of 5,000. You're probably looking more in between 15,000 to 25,000 people that were there. And they weren't just observers of the miracle, they were participants of the miracle. And I believe that's probably one of the reasons why it is so popular, so well known. The book of John focuses on Jesus Christ being the Son of God. Throughout the book of John, claims are made that Jesus is God. Jesus himself throughout the book said, I am, I am, I am. I am the bread of life. I am the living water. I am the true vine. The Father and I. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus claimed to be God. And in this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, as it is known, we see the truth that Jesus himself is God in the flesh. Tonight, I want to preach a sermon to you called Three Lessons from a Lad. John chapter 16, verse number 1, the Bible says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain. And there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them which were set down. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. What a phenomenal passage. What a great story. Here, Jesus Christ, in the time of his ministry where people were flocking to see him. They wanted to see the miracles. They wanted to see him. Jesus Christ was doing something that had never happened before. And they're flocking and they're coming. And here, Jesus had actually, if you read the different accounts, Jesus actually had removed himself from the crowds to spend some time with his disciples. His disciples had been out preaching. Jesus Christ had been doing miracles. I'm sure they were exhausted and weary, and they withdrew themselves onto a mountainside to spend some time together. And as they're there, the crowds came from far and wide to see Jesus. Matthew says, or one of the Gospels, I think it was Matthew, that said that Jesus looked on them and had compassion because they were as sheep with no shepherd. The other Gospels talk about that Jesus got up and began to teach them and heal them. And then we come to a point where at the end of the day, Jesus turns to a disciple and says, okay, now what's time to eat? Obviously, Jesus was a Baptist because there was food involved. It's time to eat. Where are we going to get the food? The disciples' focus was on reality. Jesus, look at the crowd. If we had 200 pennies, or in other words, if we had 8 months worth of wages, it wouldn't even be enough for everybody just to get a little, much less feed them. And then Andrew says, but there's a lad here. And then he says this, but what is this among so many? Tonight, let's look together. Let's examine together the lessons from the lad. I hope this will be a challenge. I know one thing that I love about this ministry is the heart to serve. It's been very evident every time I've been here, the heart to serve. So I want to encourage those that are serving to continue. At the same time, I want to challenge us also in this area. Let's look at the three lessons. The first lesson that we see here in John chapter 6 in regards to the lad was this. Number one, the place of the lad. The place of the lad. This little lad had found out where Jesus would be. Look in verse number 5. The Bible says this, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him. The company, this great crowd of people, had found out where Jesus was, and they had begun to make their way to Jesus. This little lad had to find out where was everybody going. Why are they going? This little lad found out it was Jesus was on a mountainside. And this little lad found out when it was Jesus, this little lad came. We also see, not only did he find out where Jesus was, but also he came to where Jesus was. Verse 9 says it clearly. Philip said to Jesus, there is a lad here. Now, obviously, in such a great crowd of people, and I know this from personal experience, one of little stature would have to be up close to be able to be seen and found. Andrew says to Jesus, Jesus, there's a lad here. In other words, that little boy had prepared and had come to find out where Jesus was, and he was so eager to hear Jesus. He was in the crowd that day. He had come to Jesus. The Bible doesn't say this, so please understand, this is my own imagination, but God has blessed my wife and I with 3 daughters and 2 little boys. I can imagine that morning, that little boy, oh man, I get to go see Jesus. Man, he's been healing blind people. He's been giving the lame their legs back. Man, I get to go see Jesus. I can't wait. And I'm sure he got up out of bed early. He was ready to go, and I can imagine his mother saying, son, settle down. I know my 8-year-old son, Aiden, he plays soccer. And every Saturday morning, the boy doesn't get up any other morning. It's like pulling teeth to get him out of bed. Wake up, Aiden, wake up. But Saturday morning, game day. Hey, Dad, Dad, wake up, Dad, 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 wake up. It's time to go. Come on, let's go, Dad, come on. I can imagine that little boy's excitement that morning. And I can imagine his mother saying, hold on, son. I've got to get some things ready for you. I need to make your lunch. That little boy came to where Jesus was. You see, the place of the lad, the first lesson was that the lad came. The lad came to Jesus. He found out where he would be, and he came. Number two, the second lesson that we can learn of this lad is the possession of the lad. Not only the place, but the possession. Now, to adequately understand what this little lad had, we have to understand the need that was there. The need was obvious. As Jesus turned to his disciples and said, where can we get something to eat? It was getting late at night. They were up on a mountainside. There was thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people. Where could we get bread to eat? It was an obvious need. Actually, it's almost a laughable need that Jesus would turn to his disciples and said, hey, where can we get bread? He knew the need. He knew his disciples were going to look with reason. He knew. But Jesus asked in verse 5, where they could buy bread. And look at verse 6. This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Jesus Christ at this time, we see not only was he 100% man, we see he was 100% God. Jesus knew the lad. He knew the lad by name. He knew the possession of the lad. He knew where the lad was at. But he had to show his disciples and teach his disciples a lesson. The need was one that was great. In the passage, in verse 5, Jesus says, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Philip's response was, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone may take a little. A penny worth, I already mentioned that, was about a day's wage. So about 8 months' wage, Philip, and it says, Jesus, this is impossible. Even if we had money, if we had 8 months' worth of wages, we could not even buy enough for a little. The need was great. The need was obvious. But the important thing as we look is this. The possession of the lad. You see, the lad had come prepared to stay all day. The lad had brought his own little lunch with him. In verse 9, the Bible says, again, this is Andrew saying, there is a lad here which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. When you look into Greek, it denotes a very small fish. It would have been a pickled fish or a sun-dried fish. And the barley loaves would not have been like what we think a loaf of bread. It would have been small. It would have been a sufficient lunch for a little lad. And the Greek for lad means a little child or a young boy. The lunch that he brought was sufficient for him. And we see that even as Andrew is answering Jesus, he says, Jesus, he's brought his own lunch, but what is that among so many? You see, the need was impossible. The possession that the boy had was inadequate. That little boy's possession that he had prepared and brought could not, within reason, meet the need. Jesus knew what he would do. You see, when we look at the third lesson, the first lesson was this, the place of the lad came to where Jesus was. The possession of the lad was prepared to be where Jesus was. But then number three, let's look at number three together, is this, the provision of the lad. The provision of the lad provided the Lord Jesus with his lunch. The lad gave his lunch to Jesus. I personally believe he willingly gave it. I don't see Andrew, a bully, going over there saying, kid, give me your lunch. I just don't see that in Scripture. I see a young lad that said, Jesus wants my lunch, he can have it. Jesus wants it. I will provide what I have into the hands of the master. Look at verse number 11. The Bible says this, and Jesus took the loaves. A little further down in the verse, and it says, and likewise the fishes. The provision of that, look at this. Jesus Christ took what he gave, was given. Jesus Christ took what that little lad offered. Jesus Christ didn't look at the little lad and say, you know what? Good try, buddy, but that's not enough. We need more. No, Jesus said, if you're going to give it, I'll take it. Just like the story of the 57 cents, so many would look at 57 cents and would say, what is 57 cents going to do? But Jesus said, I'll take that 57 cents and use it to do a miraculous thing in the city of Philadelphia. Jesus took what little was offered. But also you'll see under the provision is this. Jesus used what was given. Jesus used what was given. Go back to verse 11. Bible says, and Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. And the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise the fishes. And then look at the next phrase. As much as they would. In the first phrase of verse 12, when they were filled. If you go back to Greek, the word picture is an animal at a feeding trough that after they have eaten, they turn and they walk away. They have filled, they are content, they have filled to the point of not being able to eat anymore. Here, Jesus Christ took what the lad offered. He used what was given. And here, these men, these ladies, these children didn't just eat a little portion, 200 denarii or 200 penny worth. They ate and they ate and they ate and they ate until they were filled. And once they were filled, they said, I can't do any more. I can't eat anymore. That was the best fish I've ever had. That was the best barley loaves I've ever tasted. Jesus Christ took and used what was given from the lad. You see, the third lesson is he gave. The three lessons of the lad was he came to where Jesus was, he was prepared, and he gave Jesus his all. Now, friends, here's the challenge for us. Here's the encouragement for us. When you study 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and you don't have to turn there tonight because of time. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul is talking about the body of Christ and how the body is one body, but many members. There's an eye, there's a foot, there's a hand. And he's talking about how we're one body of Christ, but each of us have a specific purpose. God has placed us in the body. In fact, let me look up the verse real quick. I don't want to misquote it. In chapter 12, verse number 18, listen to this. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. You are not at Plantation Baptist Church on accident. God puts you here. God puts you here for a purpose. He put you as a part of the member of Plantation Baptist Church because he has a purpose for you to be here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, some of my favorite verses in the Bible. The Bible says this in verse 26, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many noble are called, but God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. And in verse 31, the last verse of chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians 1, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. The lessons from the lad. Listen, God put you here at Plantation Baptist Church for a purpose. And it's so easy for us to evaluate ourselves and to look at ourselves and say, God, here's my limitations. So here's what you can use. But God, I don't have this talent. I don't have this ability. I mean, look at Brother Jeff Smith play that piano. I could never do that. Look at so-and-so teaching. I could never do that. And God says, don't tell me what you can't do. Give me what I've given you. You see, the lessons from the lad is this. Friend, if we're going to be used for the purpose God's placed us here, number one, we have to be where Jesus is at. God gave you your talents. God gave you your abilities, not just to be used in a workforce environment, but God has used the New Testament local church, and that what he has ordained and called you to serve him through. And we should be using our talents and our abilities and whatever God has blessed us with to do something for the work of Jesus Christ. You have to be where Jesus is at. You must be prepared to be used when God's ready to use you. That little boy came prepared. And number three, friend, you must give God your all. Don't tell God what you can and can't do. You say, God, here am I, use me. That little lad didn't come to Jesus and say, well, I only have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. God, you can't use it. The disciples were saying that. Nowhere does it say the lad said that. Bible says the lad gave his lunch, that Jesus took the loaves, he took the fishes. And as a result of the lad's willingness to give, God did abundantly beyond what anybody could imagine or think. And my friend, when you're willing to give God what little you think you have, God can do abundantly more than you can imagine. Because it's not based on your noble, your wisdom, as 1 Corinthians said, you're having position or authority or power. It's based strictly in what God can use you to do. And if God put you here for a purpose, I will promise you this, God put you here and God will help you fulfill that purpose. So what's the lessons from the lad? Friends, be where Jesus is. Come. Number two, be prepared to be used by God. And number three, give your all. Don't tell God what he can and can't use. I heard of a preacher years ago that was in a store, and he noticed the family standing in front of him at a convenience store did not have enough money to pay for their few items that they had. He tapped the man on the shoulder and said, "You don't need to turn around, but accept this money." And he shoved some money into the man's hand. The man took the money. Without ever turning around, he paid for his groceries, and he and his family walked out of that grocery store. Never looked back. 9 years later, the pastor was invited to speak at a church in New Orleans. And after the service, a man walked up to the preacher and shared this story about how he had come to faith in Jesus Christ. He said this, "Several years ago, my wife and our child were destitute. We had lost everything. We had no jobs, no money, and were living in our car. My wife and I had lost all hope and both agreed to commit suicide, including our child. However, we decided to first give our son some food. So we drove to a convenience store to buy him some food and milk. While we were standing in line at the store, we realized that we did not have enough money to pay for these items. But a man behind us asked us to please take the money from his hand and not look at him. This man told us that Jesus loves you. We left the store, drove to our designated suicide site, and wept for hours. We couldn't go through with it, so we drove away. And as we drove, we noticed a church with a sign out front which said, 'Jesus loves you.' We went to that church the very next Sunday, and both my wife and I were saved that day. He then told the pastor, 'When you began speaking this morning, I knew immediately that you were the man who gave us that money.' How did he know? The pastor was from South Africa and had a very distinct accent. He continued, 'Your act of kindness was much more than a simple good deed. 3 people are alive today because of it.'" You can stand in a line and say, "It's just a couple bucks." But you never know what God can do with our little if we come to where Jesus is, if we're prepared, and if we give it to Jesus. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.